Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Thank you, Patrick. It was a perfect song for today for this talk, as Patrick always does. Another great choice, because the title of my talk this morning is A Higher Class of Problems. Okay? And I figured that was a perfectly appropriate subject for a spiritual discussion, because even though we all realize, we talk about it all the time, that we are all perfect ideas in the mind of God, we say that all the time, and even though we know that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience, you've heard me and David say that many times, even though those things are true, we all got problems, okay, of varying degrees, okay? And though it may not thrill you to hear this, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's why my teacher's teacher, Dr. Raymond Charles Barker, used to say that praying for a life without problems was like praying for a flat line on your EKG. Okay? It was a great statement, all right? Now, most of us also understand and accept that some problems are much more serious than other problems. Of course, for some people, the difference between a major problem and a minor problem is whether the problem belongs to them or to somebody else, but, you know, anyway. But what that tells me is that the issue is not so much the actual problems that we're facing as it is our perspective towards those problems. Or as Stephen Covey put it in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, the way we see the problem is the problem. The way we see the problem is the problem. And that fits perfectly with what we teach in religious science. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. So just to put us all in a certain frame of mind regarding problems in our lives, I'm going to start out with a story. I like stories. And the story is about a middle-aged couple who had just sent their 18-year-old daughter off to college. Both of the parents were very successful, yuppie-type high achievers who loved their only child very much. They had always sent her to the best private schools. She had piano lessons, soccer, ballet, anything that would give her a head start in life. She had always been a straight-A student, very grateful, well-behaved child, top of her class and everything. And she had just spent 12 weeks, the first semester, at a very prestigious university when her mother and father received this letter. Dear Mom and Dad, I'm sorry I haven't written lately, but all of my things were destroyed in the dormitory fire. My eyes are almost completely healed now, and except for my arms, most of the scars don't show. The doctor assures me there should be no permanent lung damage from the smoke. While the dorm is being rebuilt, I have moved in with my boyfriend. Do you remember him from Parents' Weekend? He was that great-looking older guy with the nose ring and the motorcycle. But don't worry, once his ex-wife moves out, we'll have plenty of room. Anyway, I know how much you always wanted grandchildren, so you'll be happy to know that I'm expecting a baby the end of next summer. And then she writes, I now must ask your forgiveness in advance because there was no fire. My eyes are fine. I do not have a boyfriend, and I'm not pregnant. However, I did receive a C in English and a D in calculus, and I wanted to be sure that you put this information in the proper perspective. All right. Smart kid, you know, smart kid. The proper perspective. Isn't that a great phrase? It's a good phrase to keep in mind when we're looking at the problems in our own life. It brings to mind that old Persian saying from thousands of years ago, I wept because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. Interesting perspective. Now, as we all know, there are problems in the world, and then there are real problems in the world. And it's not my place or anyone else's place to tell you whether the particular problem or set of problems that you may be dealing with are serious or not so serious. I mean, we all know there are a lot of people in the world, and I'm sure there are even a few people in this room, some that I know about, who are dealing with some very real challenges in their life right now, today, relating to all sorts of things, relating to health, relating to money, relating to job issues, legal issues, relationship issues, all those things. And some of these problems are serious, and my heart goes out to the people, whether it's you guys or anybody else, who has them. But there's still something we all need to understand about our problems, which is this. All problems, whether they're big or small, can be handled better if we understand what they are telling us. What they are telling us. In almost every case, the appearance of a problem in our life is telling us that the time has come for us to take a step forward in consciousness, which is where all of our spiritual growth really begins. And when we finally use our God-given intelligence, courage, intuition, all those things that we have to find a workable, satisfying, healing solution, when we finally do that, okay, whether we see our problem as just a daily annoyance or a major life crisis, once we do that, we will have demonstrated the ability to take that step forward in consciousness. The problem is, the problem with problems, if you want to say it that way, the problem is when something happens that rocks our world or knocks us back on our heels, everything we have ever heard about problems similar to the one that we're having, everything that we believe about situations like the one that we're in, whether it's financial, medical, whatever it happens to be, even if the things we heard or the things we believe are not true, even so, those things rush into our mind. They grab our attention, and all we can think about is what a pain it is going to be and how much work and pain it's going to take for us to get our life back to where it was before. That totally obsesses our mind. And what really aggravates the situation is that we allow ourselves to become afraid. And I use that term very deliberately because fear is not something that's thrust upon us. Fear is something that we allow. We allow. And we feed that fear with our powerful imagination until the problem takes on a life of its own. So we allow ourselves to feel powerless and vulnerable. We're so busy being upset that we don't take the time to use what we have, which is our vision, that inner spiritual quality we have. We don't take the time to look first at what we know about ourselves and what we know to be the truth about the world that we live in, this thing called life, which is really unfortunate because that's where the best solutions can always be found. Now, I said earlier, we all know everyone has problems. Even the most successful people in the world have problems. But there's a big difference between their problems and the problems of less successful people. First and foremost, their problems are much more interesting. Okay? They are. And if you don't think so, just read the news. Instead of worrying about car payments, they're worried about raising $100 million for their new company. Totally different level. They're worried that their supermodel girlfriend or boyfriend will find out about their other supermodel girlfriend or boyfriend. You know, that kind of stuff. They're worried about winning the World Cup or trying to beat Germany instead of playing in just a pickup soccer match, okay? They're worried about chosen as the new CEO or which company do they want to start or lead. But they aren't worried about the little stuff. You see, people who live their life large, I love that term, have already demonstrated that they can handle the simpler problems. That's how they got where they are. So in the same way, as we learn to handle the problems that come up in our life, life doesn't necessarily get easier. It just gets more interesting. It just gets a little more exciting. The more we demonstrate our ability to overcome the simpler problems, the more we grow. And the more we grow, the more opportunities we're going to get to deal with life on a more challenging level. That's why the level of problems that we have indicates our level of belief in ourselves, and our level of belief in ourselves indicates our level of belief in the creative power that we call God. So what we're saying here is, it doesn't matter so much if we have problems in our life, as long as we don't allow ourselves, there's that allow word again, to be overwhelmed by them. You know, I can't remember who it was I heard say, so it's fine as long as you don't adopt your problems and build an extra room in our house so that they'll be comfortable, you know. John Foster Dulles, he was a Secretary of State, I think, with Eisenhower back in that period. He once made the statement, I love this, he said, the measure of success is not whether you have a tough problem to deal with, but whether it's the same problem you had last year. And I would add, and the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. I mean, the truth is, most people have problems that hang around because they don't realize at a deep inner level who and what they are. They don't realize that. They haven't been taught to think of themselves as intelligent or powerful or creative or loving or courageous or any of those things. And since they haven't learned to see themselves this way, every problem that they face seems to be much bigger and more powerful than they are. The only reason we get paralyzed by what we see as serious problems in our life is because we feel we have to find an answer out there, because on some level that's where we believe the problem came from. But that way of thinking will never solve anything. We need to start thinking, and that's what we teach at this center, start thinking more constructively, or as we would say, more spiritually. We need to accept our role in creating the problem, and this is very important, to also believe in our natural ability to reveal a workable solution that already exists. To reveal a workable solution that already exists. You see, when we learn to trust our God self, I love that term, and we consciously remind ourselves over and over again that this self, with a capital S, just like spirit, is made in the image and likeness of a creative power, the one we call God. When we can do this, our problems will become so small that no matter how big they seem, we can start to hold them in the palm of our hand. Our problems will lose power over us because it's a power that they never, ever really had. Now, if we really want to understand why our problems feel so overwhelming sometimes, we have to examine our expectations about life. If you've constantly got problems that keep bugging you, examine your expectations. I mean, think about this. How many of us really consciously, very important, expect that our life is going to be better and happier tomorrow than it is today, and better the next day? I see a few hands. How many times do we go to bed without worrying about a single thing in our life, whether it's something that happened that day or might happen tomorrow? Anybody ever lay down right before you go to sleep and you don't think of anything that you wish you'd done differently or hope doesn't happen? Not very often. How many of us have enough confidence in the presence of a loving and supportive power, so much confidence that we can go to sleep peacefully, wake up excited about life, and look forward to the rest of our day? Sometimes, not always. I mean, if we can relax and accept that everything that we need to handle any challenge we have is immediately available to us, I mean immediately available to us, if we can't do that, then why are we so surprised that our default mode is to see the world as a difficult and dangerous place? That's why we need to stop struggling with our problems, but we also need to stop managing our problems, okay? We need to start looking at our problems in an entirely different way, okay? What we need to remember is the solution to any problem is always available because every question holds within it the seeds to its own answer. Every problem holds within it the seed for its best possible solution. And if we would only learn how to look for it, how to look for that solution, we would be able to see it every single time. It's sort of like those children's books. I was going to bring one, but I don't think you'd be able to see it out there. You know the ones where you have all the people and you have to find Waldo? Or the ones where it looks like just a bunch of stuff, but if you focus your eyes differently, all of a sudden you see a three-dimensional form in there. You've seen those kind of books, okay? At first glance, all we see is the picture. And it's easy to say, there's nothing there. But once we look at it differently than the toys or the people or the shapes, they start to appear. But what's really interesting is once we see it, we can't unsee it. Next, every time you look at it from then on, we will be able to see it. So nothing in the picture has actually changed, but the way we look at it has. And we don't see it as a problem anymore. Now, every problem in our life seems different depending upon our level of understanding. For example, if we're walking through the woods, and we come across a sign that says, danger, in big red letters, entry forbidden, trespassers will be violated, you know, that kind of a thing, whatever it happens to be. If we don't know how to read, that creates one set of problems. If we know how to read, but we can't understand the words, maybe they're in a different language, that's another problem. If we understand the words, but we ignore the sign and we go on forward anyway, that could create another set of problems. The sign itself is not a problem, okay? It's just information. But the way we respond to what it's telling us depends on us. So any problem that faces us is not a cosmic problem. It just is what it is. It's information. It's a message our soul is sending to us that we need to act upon. Now, I admit it may be hard for us to accept, especially when it's happening at a really inconvenient time, but the loss of a job is just the loss of a job, okay? A divorce is just a divorce. A medical diagnosis is just a medical diagnosis. It's not punishment from God or payment of our karmic debt or any of those things, and our response is entirely up to us, okay? It's simply an event or a circumstance that we can best deal with if we don't take it personally and don't give it any power of its own. When we are faced with a problem, any problem, this is the good part, and we reveal a solution, we become illuminated. Illuminated. The spiritual term would be enlightened. That's what it means, okay? You know what it's like, that flash of insight where you've got a problem you've been stewing over and all of a sudden the perfect answer just pops right into your mind, or somebody says something or you see an advertisement and all of a sudden the answer comes. And when we see what we need to do, when we realize we can actually do it, it changes us. That changes us permanently, just like the picture that you can't unsee, okay? It expands our confidence, it expands our consciousness, and it shows us that we are more capable and more creative and more powerful than we ever thought we were. Now, I want all of you to think back to when you were maybe 9 months old, okay, or a year, something like that. And you had before you the very difficult process that you had to learn of how to walk and how to talk. Anybody didn't have to deal with that? Okay, all of us did. Good. And then, after those were overcome, we had to learn the alphabet, and we had to learn how to get potty trained, and we had to learn how to read and to ride a bike and to learn how to drive, all these problems that seemed so, so difficult. It all seemed challenging, whether we remember it or not, but nobody told us we weren't going to be able to do it. So we just did it. We just went ahead and did it. I mean, I don't remember exactly, but I'm sure my parents did not say, you know, sweetheart, you may not be able to learn to walk, okay? But just give it a try. If it doesn't work out, we'll get somebody to carry you for the rest of your life, okay? I don't think they said that. I know my father definitely did. So it was assumed by them and everybody else that we'd eventually learn, and we did, okay? Now, fast forward to today for us. Same person who was learning how to walk and talk and read and all those things. What happens when we run into a problem at work, for example? Something unexpected that happens all the time to a lot of people but had never happened to us before, okay? We get downsized. We get laid off. The company goes into bankruptcy, whatever it happens to be. Our family or our friends will usually say to us, oh, wow, what are you going to do now? Okay? I mean, you can't expect to make the same money you were making before. You better get some kind of job before you run out of money, even if it's something you hate. And these are our friends and our family, okay, who are trying to help us. But what do? Do we just assume that that's not right? We listen to them. I mean, they're our friends, they're our family, until you learn not to, but we listen to them. I mean, it's not enough that we've got something to deal with that's going to take time and effort. We let them pump up the problem in our mind with their fears. In our mind with their fears. I mean, just because it looks like a big problem to them, we figure, uh-oh, it must be a big problem for me. But it doesn't have to be that way. It does not. It just appears to be a problem when we forget that we are always first cause to our experience. Have you ever heard me say that before? Yes. We are first cause to our experience. Every experience, even being laid off, yes. Even a divorce? Yes. Even a disease? Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. All of our experiences. Where we are on some level, wherever we are the ones who put ourselves there. Kennedy Schultz, my teacher, David's teacher, used to say that it was a big revelation to him when he finally realized that every time he had a problem in his life, the one common denominator was that he was there. Okay? That was a revelation, and it is. You see, if we are laid off, or fired, or we resign a job we don't like, or whatever it happens to be, the actual loss of the job is only a part of the experience. It's only part of the sign. But the rest of the experience that we create from that can either be stressful full of fear about no money and our ability to find work and am I too old and all those kind of things. Or it can be an opportunity to follow a dream that we were too safe and secure to follow before. We can get bogged down in the scary problem of being unemployed, or we can deal with the more interesting problem of creating multiple exciting employment opportunities in a field we absolutely love, or even better, in a new field that we didn't even know existed. All right? That's what I mean by a higher class of problems. Now, scientists, physicists, mathematicians, they deal with problems all the time. They are in the business of solving some very complex problems. But they've learned not to take the process personally. They approach these problems with the understanding, first of all, that every problem is solvable. Every problem is solvable. God isn't hiding the answer. We just haven't figured it out yet, okay? Sometimes finding the solution takes a very long time. Sometimes it takes decades. Some problems, even centuries. But that's not because the people looking for the solution are stupid, and it's not because the problem is so difficult. It's simply because we haven't yet looked at the problem the way it needs to be looked at. But once we start looking at things, not just the problem with tunnel vision, once we start looking at it holistically, which means as part of the whole, the answer is sometimes so obvious that people can't believe it took so long to find. And not only that, more often than not, looking for the larger holistic solution doesn't solve just that one problem. It solves a bunch of other problems besides. Now, that works for math and science and those kind of things. But let's talk about the same process at the personal level, because that's really what we're here for. All right? If we keep having, let's say, relationship problems, something none of you ever have to deal with, but there are people out there who do, okay? If we're having relationship problems, either with the same person over and over or with a long sequence of people, we can certainly deal with each problem individually, and after we solve that, go back to square one until the crisis appears again, or we can take the high road. We can deal with it spiritually. We can start looking within, in my God self, okay, and seeing what we are doing on a regular basis to cause all these similar problems. We can look at how we choose the people we're with. We can look at the words we choose when we're having arguments. We can look at whether or not we're being honest with ourselves or others. That's a much higher level of problem to solve. But the solution in the long run is going to have much more desirable results. All right. Speaking of handling problems, let me change pace a little bit. There's a story I love. I love stories. This story is about a group of frogs. And they're hip-hopping around, you know, one day, just playing. And they were crossing a dirt road, and one of them fell into a rut. It had rained a few days before, a very deep rut, and then the mud dried, and he was down there, and he keeps jumping up, and it goes as far as he can see, and his friends are trying to help pull him out, and he can't get out. So eventually he says, you know, I guess I'm stuck. Why don't you guys go see if you can find a stick or something to help get me out? So they take off. And about 10 minutes later, they're looking around for something they can use to put down there. And they hear a noise, and here their buddy comes, hopping along. And they said, what happened? I thought you were stuck in the rut. And he said, had to leave, a big truck was coming. Okay. Now, if you don't get it, ask somebody who laughed. That happens a lot. It really does. When a more challenging problem comes along, the smaller problems disappear. I can't tell you how many people I talked to, myself included, who had all sorts of important things on the morning of 9/11 that disappeared once all this other stuff happened, okay? Now, Sir Isaac Newton, one of my heroes, great scientific mind, great spiritual mind too. He was a great solver of problems on a large scale, gravity, thermodynamics, all those things. And when someone asked him how he was able to find answers to these questions, his answer was, I try to think the way God thinks. Great answer. Kind of a scary answer, because during his time frame, people got burned at the stake for making comments like that. But his point was well made. He was talking about looking at things from a higher perspective. And what he meant was this. When looking at a problem, if a scientist, or you or me, can elevate their consciousness to the point where they have some sense of the intention or the rhythm of the universe, then he or she will be thinking the way the universe thinks. And as they learn to do this, the secrets of the universe will simply unfold. Now, in the same way, when we understand what the greater truth is about our nature and the nature of God and the nature of life, we will be thinking the way God thinks. Now, the main consequence of linking our thinking and our awareness with this power, with God, is that it changes the way we look at the problems. It's not that we'll stop having problems, but we will start to look at them as gifts. We can even start to welcome problems in our life because the power that we generate when we solve them pushes us past the limitations of the old narrow thinking that we were stuck in for so long. Now, Dr. Holmes writes this, okay? He says, instead of dwelling on the problem, we should recognize its answer, sensing that since spirit has no problems, that which appears as a human problem is dissolved and in its place is the right answer. Very profound. I love that. Now, I want you to notice, he's not saying that we have to know the perfect answer right away. We just need to stop focusing on the problem and to know that there actually is a perfect answer, which will become very obvious once we accept that it exists and start thinking in harmony with the perfect intelligence. I mean, if you think about it, humans, everything we've invented and created was a response to a problem. Human beings discovered fire as an answer to the problem of surviving the cold. I mean, if the whole world had been some tropical paradise, it would have taken a lot longer to discover fire. Everything we've invented, the telephone, the automobile, the printing press, airplanes, air conditioning, computers, all of this. The world moves forward when we see a greater possibility in a limited situation, okay? When we face our problems, when the money looks short, or the x-ray looks bad, or our entire attitude has to become constructive if we want to move past what we see. But if we begin to see the problems in our life for what they are, if we see them as mind, the one mind telling us that it's time to move one more step up the ladder, then we will be able to grow as our awareness grows, and we will be able to face and to deal with anything calmly, confidently, and intelligently, looking within to find the answer, then directing the power of mind to open us up to an even greater vision. And whatever we happen to run into along the way, we know that we're going to be able to handle that too, because at that point, we will have more than faith that we can handle it. We will have experience, which is always better in the long run. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine, and so it is, and so it is. All right. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's take a moment, take a breath, or two, or three. Center ourselves. Take the ideas that resonated with you. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let's know this. Life is not meant to be easy, but it is meant to be fun. I know that the life I live is constantly presenting me with opportunities that I attract, that my soul, my spirit attracts to help me to grow. So as I welcome these challenges, I can begin to look at it like a game, the game of life. And I can play with it, play with this life joyfully. I can open myself up to greater opportunities of creativity in the work I do, greater opportunities of health in this body that I wear as a cloak for my spirit, greater opportunities for my prosperity and to enjoy the money that I have and to attract more to me so that I can live the life I want. And most important of all, a greater opportunity to create love at a deeper and deeper level with those in my life who are important to me. As I begin to take this responsibility, as I no longer feel the burden of my problems, but feel them lift me up, I change. I become greater than I ever knew I was, but in truth, I don't become anything. I just realize who and what I am. And as I do this, my life is transformed. So I'd like all of us to take a moment, a few moments in silence, and in this moment, take some challenge in your life that you're dealing with. It doesn't have to be a painful problem, though it could be. It may be a wonderful opportunity that you're not sure you want to accept, or some process you're involved in that you don't know how to do. But put that right in the center of your consciousness and look at it calmly, and in your mind, tell yourself, there is an answer, and I am open to it. Take these few moments of silence for yourself. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept this greater idea. We accept this spiritual awareness and awakening. We accept the better life that we are now creating. And with gratitude, we release this knowing into consciousness, allowing it to do what it does so well, which is to transform us into something better. Please join me in saying, and so it is.